Hi everyone, and I hope your week is going well. I hope you've been enjoying August as we get near towards the end of that. In the last of our series on lesser known characters in the Bible, we're going to be thinking about a person called Epaphras. The only things we know about him from the Bible are some things Paul says about him, first in Colossians and then in Philemon. Now we're going to think about the Colossians references now, and I'll pick up the Philemon references in some further reflections on Sunday. It is highly likely that both these letters, Colossians and Philemon, as well as Ephesians, were written by Paul during one of his times in prison, as he was made captive because of the work he was doing for the gospel. And we'll see that Paul speaks highly of Epaphras, so a good example to follow. And the first we come across him is in Colossians 1, 7-8. And the words that Paul uses to describe him, to speak of him, are really inspiring. He refers to him as a dear fellow servant, a faithful minister of Christ, a sharer of good news. Paul often describes himself as a servant, as a slave of Jesus Christ. He had given total control of his life over to Jesus. His purpose for living was to serve Jesus and to proclaim him to others. And it must have been a deep joy to Paul when he found others who had a similar heart, a similar commitment, a similar devotion to Jesus. And it seems as though he'd found one such person in this man Epaphras. And as we look closely at these verses, we see that Epaphras was the person who took the truth of God's word to the people of Colossae, the one who it seems sort of was responsible for this church emerging in the first place. He preached the gospel to them. He told them about God's grace. He explained to them what Jesus had done for them on the cross. He helped them to understand that God was for them. He showed them how to respond. And now he's travelled to see Paul and Timothy. He's told them of the love that was growing in this young church, love fueled and enabled by the work of the Spirit in their lives. So what does this tell us about the man, about Epaphras? He had personally been changed by the gospel, by the good news of Jesus, and he had committed himself to following Jesus. He understood the gospel and its significance for the world. He was able to communicate the gospel in a way that resulted in people's lives being changed. He had a deep love for people, enough to cause him to share with them what he had received so they could experience it for themselves. He recognised when the Spirit was at work in the lives of believers. He wanted to share the reality of what was happening with others who were engaged in similar work, in this case, Paul and Timothy. He saw himself as part of a wider team. How does the example of Epaphras challenge us? How does it encourage us? What questions does it ask of us? How much have we been changed by the gospel? How much are we allowing ourselves to continually be changed by what Jesus has done in our lives? When people look at us, when we look at ourselves, do we see someone who is more like Jesus than a week ago? Or have we said, enough is enough, and we'll stay as we are? Or even revert back a bit to who we used to be? How much do we actually understand the key message of the gospel? The message of Jesus coming into the world, of seeking to draw all people into a relationship with God, of being prepared to sacrifice himself on the cross to deal with the problem of sin, of being restored to life and being alive today, and one day coming back to take those who believe in him to be with him forever. And how much are we able to communicate that message to people in a way that is meaningful and relevant and that will engage with them, using language and terminology that makes sense to the people we're talking with? And if we can give good and positive answers to all of those, do we have the Spirit-driven, Spirit-fueled desire to go and communicate that good news to people who need to hear it, to people who need to respond, to people who need to experience the new life that only Jesus can provide. Where do we see ourselves on that list? Those things that Epaphras seemed to demonstrate. Because in these few short sentences, Paul paints a picture of a man on fire for Jesus. A picture that can challenge and encourage us as we think about ourselves and our commitment to Jesus on our desire for those who don't yet know him for themselves. But this is not the last we hear of Epaphras in this short letter. Paul refers to him again as he draws the letter to a close with some greetings and encouragement. And again, Paul speaks positively, and we find out something more about this remarkable man. In chapter 4, verse 12, Paul recognises that Epaphras is one of you. So it wasn't that he was a missionary or evangelist sent to a particular town to preach the gospel. He was a resident of the town. He knew people. They were his neighbours, his friends, his colleagues, people he'd grown up with, people he'd shared the reality of life with, maybe people he'd worked with. Then he'd come to know Jesus for himself, and his love for his friends and his neighbours resulted in him talking with them about Jesus. And sometimes this can be the most difficult thing to do. It can be easier going to a different town on a mission trip than speaking to people who know you and live around you. They know you for who you are. They're aware of the times you've lost your temper or shouted at your spouse. So I can imagine Epaphras saying that he was still the person they'd always known. It wasn't that he was better than any of them, but that he had met with Jesus and that had changed his life. His story, his example, his proclamation of the gospel had resulted in their lives being changed as well through the power of the Spirit. Do we have the heart, the desire, the compassion to share what we have received with those who know us, with those who are part of our family, with those we live amongst, the people we see as friends? And the next description of Epaphras is that he was a man of prayer and that he was praying for them. And this was not gentle prayer that cost nothing. Rather, he was wrestling in prayer for them. We get this in verse 12. Paul often uses this idea of wrestling to refer to athletic events. In our day, we'd think of things such as the recent Olympics or the restart of the Premier League, where athletes and sports people give everything in order to gain the victory. It involved work, it involved dedication, it involves perseverance. And this is how Epaphras spent time praying for the people of Colossae, with a deep desire to see them grow in their relationship with God, to become mature in Christ, for them to have total assurance of the reality of what God had done in their lives. How much do we know and engage in this type of prayer, where we are crying out to God for those we love and those that we want to see grow in relationship with him? And he's not only praying, he's working. Paul speaks of him working hard for the people of Colossae and the surrounding area. He wanted what was best for them and prepared to put the effort in to make that happen. Even though his ministry started in his hometown, he was now branching out and seeking to be a blessing to those in nearby cities as well. Laodicea and Hierapolis were each about 10 or so miles away from Colossae in the same valley. They were neighbouring towns. So he was not constrained by staying where he started, not constrained by geography, not put off by starting something new, but had a real heart for many people and was prepared to work for them, to branch out, to engage in new areas of mission and ministry. So we see someone who combined prayer and action and saw great blessing as a result. Someone who, yes, was prepared to move out into those new areas of ministry, expand the scope of his prayers and his activity. As we seek to be a blessing to others, let's be people who hold these things as hugely important. That we commit ourselves to prayer in an ongoing and deep way. Praying, wrestling in prayer, that others will come to know and love Jesus for themselves. Let's work and give generously of ourselves so that others will come to know and love Jesus. And let's be prepared to move into new areas of ministry as God calls us and the Spirit prompts us. The way we pray, the work we do, may well be different for each of us, but the principle of doing both, of working and praying, and engaging with God on behalf of others is vitally important and what we are each called to do. Epaphras sets us a good example. Let's continue to be prepared to follow it and to join with God in the work he is doing. Did you notice that these descriptions of Epaphras about what he was, the sort of person he was, and what was important to him and what was doing, these were not things that he said of himself. These were things that Paul said about him, things that he had observed, things that he valued. When others look at us, what would they see? What would they write about us in a letter, in an email? What would they say about us? Would it speak of our heart for the lost, of our desire for God, of our passion for reaching out and sharing with others, of that intent to grow closer to Jesus, to allow ourselves to continue to be changed by the gospel? Here are some questions to think about, to reflect on, and to discuss. How much are we continually being changed by Jesus to become more like him? What is your experience of wrestling in prayer for others? And what new areas of mission do you believe God may be calling us to engage with? May God bless us as we seek him and seek to know what he's calling us to do.